Hey, drama listeners, happy Wednesday. It feels like spring. Oh my God, it is just changing the whole vibe. You know what else is going to change your whole vibe today is hearing this amazing episode that we have with your favorite TikTok theater star, Tyler Joseph Ellis. You're going to absolutely love him. It's an amazing chat. Before you listen to it, though, I want to plug our Patreon. Patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, you support the pod, support drama, Connor, Dylan, your favorite twins. And you also get access to our Instagram close friends where the tea is spilled. How basic is that? But no, it's really juicy. It's really fun. You're going to love it. And your financial support helps us help you have better podcasts. Does that make any sense? I don't know. I'm feeling crazy. Okay. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for finding us. Rate us 5 stars. Tell all your friends about us and enjoy the show. It's an amazing one.
Press play. Curtain of an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. You know, I need to apologize to the listeners in advance. We both are a little hoarse. We sort of lost our voices from a weekend of, shall we say, it was debauchery in Kansas City. Don't ask any questions further.
It was insane. I don't know how I made it home on Sunday, but, and also you had 2 flights to sort of grapple with, including a Kansas City kickball game that you sat through, and then 2 flights. That's tough to sort of process, but I know so much, there's so much drinking. To quote Lisa Rinna, it's in the car talking to Kyle Richards about Kim Richards. There's too much drinking that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
She was not sober to me in some way, shape, or form. And that's how I feel about us right now.
There is addiction happening.
Oh, yeah, that's the
no
next part.
No one wants to talk about it. No, absolutely. I never thought that my post-college years would be rowdier than my during college years, but I think it's because work hard, play harder. You know
what
I mean?
Oh my God. So true, Dylan. Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. We got to see our best friends, our best gays reunited in Kansas City for our annual trip. Thank you to Isaac for hosting us, being an amazing tour guide. The Kansas City gays do not play. If there's anybody listening here, y'all think your town has the craziest gay scene. No.
It's Kansas City,
where Widow Von Doom might appear out of nowhere.
Wait, she did appear out of nowhere. In fact, we met her randomly out of drag. But anyway, yeah. Dylan, I'm so excited about our guest today.
I am too, because
we're already family.
I know. We were having so much fun already. I have to say, my same-sex partner did tell me that I need to give him a shout-out for making him belly laugh every single day as we lay in bed and we'll watch TikToks, mostly from our guest today, which is insane. But I feel like, and we'll probably talk to them about this. I feel like people feel like they know you if you have an online presence.
Oh,
but what's interesting
yeah.
about this guest is he plays characters. So
I
today
know.
We're going to get to know the real TJE.
Oh, wig. But also I have to say before we bring our guest in is I lied to him when we first met and I said I didn't have a TikTok, but I do. But what I mean by I don't have a TikTok is.
Oh, well, we met him in real life.
We met him in real life. Mm-hmm. I said I don't have a TikTok because I don't actively use it and I check it maybe once every 2 weeks, but sure. I am texted TikToks very often, which is an interesting thing to do to a person who doesn't usually check their TikToks because it forces you to log in. But anyway, I do have a TikTok and I do follow him now after we met and he is so funny.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Like genuinely funny, and we'll get into it. But anyway, I'm gonna tell our listeners about him and we're just gonna bring him in. Y'all,
let's do it.
Our guest today has absolutely made you laugh over the last few years. He has a following of over 280,000 on TikTok, having amassed 24.6 million likes, and has cornered the market on theater comedy content. His popular series do include the POV of approaching senior theater kids, hearing pre-show announcements, and that straight guy callbacks, who I'll admit it, I'm deeply attracted to. But anyway, who are we kidding? Everything he does turns to gold with his awareness, lived experiences, and comedic timing coming together. Offline, our guest is an accomplished actor, director, singer, and marketer, a graduate of the University of Southern California. He has appeared in The Sex Lives of College Girls, That 90s Show, commercials for Fujifilm, and short films entitled Tell Me Something I Don't Know, Mint, Swearing, and More. He's worked for Alan Cumming, New York Musical Theater Festival, and Walt Disney Studios, as well as appeared in productions such as Sunny in the Park with George, She Loves Me, Cabaret, Passion, and more. He's a true singular sensation. Please welcome to drama, Tyler Joseph Ellis.
Oh my God. That intro was, that was next level. That was giving website research boots.
Thank you for having a website, I must say.
Oh, you're so welcome. And one of my favorite things to do, have a website.
Oh yes. Thanks for hosting it, whatever that monthly fee is, or if you pay yearly.
I think it's monthly.
Listen, you never know if you need to pack it up and run. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
Do you remember me lying to you about not having a TikTok?
I don't, right? Because this was after Moulin Rouge, correct?
It was.
Remember, I was very drunk that night. I was very drunk off of wine and, no, it was just wine. It was just a lot of wine, yes.
Mm, that's totally so fair.
I do, of course, remember meeting you, but I don't remember the specifics.
That's fair. You were with a lovely young blonde.
Yes.
Who was having the night of her life.
My shout out to Jane Emma Barnett.
Okay.
We were having, again, both of us, mm-hmm. lots of wine. She was barefoot outside the Al Hirschfeld. It was so foul.
Funny, if I had a nickel myself, but I was usually coming down the dressing room stairwell that's outside. You know,
oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, oh
yes.
Dylan.
Anyways, Tyler, we're so happy you did this. You're doing this, I should say, with us.
Of course.
We obviously were already having a key, as they say these days. They don't say key, sure. key anymore. They just say a key.
Okay, I didn't know that. So thank you for telling me.
Yes, we're having a
fool
key.
Of myself.
Yeah, I learned that.
You know, I'm just
too.
Looking out. But listen, we do like to kind of just check in with our guests before we really dive into all things theater, pop culture, love, and life. And that is, we like to just ask, are you well?
Yes. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been struggling with a little cold that turned into a short bout of laryngitis. Oof. But I over the last few days have felt much, much better and totally ready and willing to use my voice to speak with both of you. So yeah, I would say I'm well. Are you too well? Am I allowed to ask that back?
Oh yes, we love when people ask it back. Listen, we always say it's more of a conversation than an interview.
Okay, sometimes, that's amazing.
Sometimes guests don't understand. You know, I am well despite my voice actively giving out during this call.
Dylan, you're giving like Paige Michael Chuck from Degrassi.
Oh my God, deep cuts.
Wow.
Listen. I always like to say I sound like Sarah Michelle Gellar, which is absolutely not true.
Oh my God.
She's mother, but I'm well. I'm doing really well with this great weather and the ramp up to like Tony nominations.
Oh my God.
And all the openings and the fun happenings going around in the theater industry and in New York. I mean, when this spring weather hits, we become feral.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
It's crazy.
Where do you
right?
two live in the city? Are you allowed to tell me?
I'm allowed to tell you, I do live in Hell's Kitchen against
me
all
too.
Odds.
Me too.
No
so
way.
So I'm like, I think that feral energy is also just because of where we live. Like I walk out my door and I'm like, where are all the hot people were hibernating? Everyone is out. Like I totally feel, and I just moved to New York in October. So I've never experienced the winter into spring transition. Mm. And it's horny. It's like a horny time.
It's Chromatica yeah. 2 into 911.
Oh, to pull my God. Precisely what it is. Oh my God. Yes.
And everyone somehow still fits into their shorts from the summer before, which is a phenomenon I've never experienced. Ah! I don't live in New York anymore. I live in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh my gosh.
On the floor. I know.
Oh my God.
Have you ever been
shocked to Columbus? Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever been to the state. I don't think I've been to Ohio. Is that right? Why?
It's a flyover.
I was this close to going to Kenyon. I was like, I almost wanted to go to Kenyon College, like, and which I would have been in Ohio.
Yeah,
but no,
totally.
Did not go to Kenyon College.
Okay.
No, I've heard great things
It is amazing. It's a huge theater place too.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like a really gay state, or the big cities are really gay.
You got it, Cincinnati.
Yeah,
and Glee did fictionally take place here,
Lima, Ohio.
Yeah, you know.
Period.
Do you really think I don't know? Come on.
I think you're, and I'm only going to say this once, younger than us, but it's I don't think Glee would have skipped your time.
No, Glee was everything to me. I actually attribute a lot of my personality to Glee.
So, oh my God.
Yes.
Yes. Wait, have you seen Leah in Funny Girl?
I have.
Oh.
A couple times.
I want to see it again before
she's there for a while. So
she's magnificent.
Yeah. Like, you can't deny, cannot deny that she brings that house down. It is so thrilling. And I mean, your younger self is just, it's such a mental a game of being like, I cannot believe I'm sitting in a Broadway theater watching her do this part that I fictionally saw her do in a show that I loved so much. And it's just, it's one of those weird, the world is so strange things. And I couldn't get over it. Get over it.
There's other Glee representation on Broadway right now. Alex Newell.
Oh, I saw Shucked and I'm seeing it again on Thursday.
Wait, your TikTok about you going on a date to Shucked made me laugh because I love when comedy is a little shocking.
Good. I mean, of course.
And so we've all seen those, like, I'm getting ready for a date videos or whatever. So that you were turning it on its head. And, well, I don't want to ruin it for the listeners, but they have to go to your TikTok and go watch
it. I know. It's got a...
It does have, like, a bit of a shocking twist.
Shocking twist.
A little twist.
Yeah.
A little twist.
Y'all wanted a twist, huh?
I so appreciate that because I made that video for Shucked. Shucked, like, approached me to do a little video for them. I'm like, of course. And I sort of had this idea because, you know, you can only be marketed to so much as a consumer in a non-creative way. So it's like anytime I do any sort of deal with any product or company, I want to really make it funny because otherwise they'll skip. Like anytime I see an ad, I skip it. But then once in a while, I'll be watching something, not realizing it's an ad, and then being like, oh my God, this was hilarious. You won. So I just want to do that. So thank you for saying that. Thank you.
I need to see it though. So we have Alex. Do we have any other Glee people on Broadway right now?
Lindsay, of course, was in Elphaba, but
you're right.
Now on tour with Mean Girls. So sort of, you know, in the space.
Yeah.
Will Amber P. Riley drop the P ever do Dream Girls in the States? Do we know?
For the last 6 years, they've been saying it's happening. They've held auditions. It's gone far, but then it just never ends up happening. I don't know what it is. I really think a badass revival of Dreamgirls, whether it's the West End production or otherwise, is so overdue.
Right.
And I really think some of our, you know, most talented stars right now would drop everything to do it. I know some of my friends that I would be like, I know they would drop everything to do Dreamgirls. So we're waiting. I'm waiting.
Yeah. So you see a lot of theater, you do a lot of, you know, things about town. We'll get into like what you do and why everyone knows you eventually. But I'm kind of curious, what have been your favorites of the season?
Oh my God, there's been a lot of really good crap happening.
I know, it's been
it's
amazing.
Such an exciting time. It's so cool in New York to really feel, I think this is truly the first season where it really feels like we're back and a lot of, you know, new and exciting things are happening. So I'm like, let's go. I really love Shucked. I love the Sweeney revival. I think Parade is brilliant. It's been one of my favorite shows for 10 years. And I've been saying every single time someone asked me what shows do you want to be revived, I would say Parade and Merrily. And they're both happening this year, which is like insane.
Your impact. You move here and all of a sudden.
Come on. Seriously. It's like this. The city opens up for me.
Yes.
Let's see. I loved Downstate at Playwrights Horizons was brilliant.
Oh, I heard that was great.
It was. Oh, my God. It was. I was not expecting to sit. I was, you know, completely enthralled with that story. What? I'm trying to think of like the playbills in the other room. What have I seen that I've loved?
You seen New York, New York yet?
Oh, I did see New York, New York. Okay. Very much still in previews, but I think it is magic. I think it is absolutely charming. I think they need to shorten it a skosh, and it's already, you know, that it's they're biting off a lot with the show, understandably so. There's a lot of subplots, a lot of everything. So they just need to figure out how to make it clippy and great. But I honestly think if it were to open with no changes and they had 20 more days of previews when I saw it, it would still be a triumph. I just think it has, I think it can still be incredible. I'm a huge New York, New York fan.
I love that. We obviously love Colton, but, and
oh my
I mean,
God,
so many other people amazing. In the cast, but I'm always wary of a show that doesn't preview out of town or even like off Broadway first.
But here's the thing, that they definitely are feeling that, like, they okay. because they have to pull off a lot. But I'm very impressed that it hasn't had an out of town run or even like a true. Did it even have a workshop? No, it did have a workshop.
It because did.
I know someone who was in the workshop.
A workshop at least, yeah.
So but. I think it is. It's so it and it makes you fall in love with New York, like in a way where you walk out after the show being like. And I'm walking out onto 44th Street. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, like the world is full of wonderful things. Like, it's really incredible. So, I'm literally forgetting so many things, but this season has been off Broadway on incredible stuff. Oh, I went to the Ragtime reunion concert. That was like the best night of my life. Oh yeah, my there's God. Been a lot of really good theater recently.
There has been. You're right. There's been so much. I feel like every other week I'm going to see something different. I'm going to see the new Michael R. Jackson show next week.
I saw White Girl in Danger. Saw that. Yes.
I heard it was also very much in previews.
I saw it in previews. I think it opened last night though.
I think it did. I saw some Insta stories.
I saw some Insta. J. Armstrong Johnson, shout out, was definitely doing some cute carpet pics.
Love.
So, yes, of course.
Oh my God. I love that boy.
Wait. I'm curious about something.
Ask.
We ask all of our guests this, but I guess I'm curious because your TikToks are so lived. Like, it's like you've experienced these moments. So you're obviously a true theater kid come to life and wreaking havoc upon all of us in the best way.
Yeah, not a cringy way at all. Because, you know,
not it's cringe.
Thank you. Yes. Unless I'm trying to make you cringe.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So as like a true theater kid turned theater young adult, we ask all of our guests about the moment that got them into the arts. We borrow the term Ring of Keys from the musical Fun Home because for a lot of us, it's like maybe it's something we saw or some, you know, this light switch that went on in our minds and in our world of creative possibilities. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment that really got you into the biz and into entertainment at large?
It's such an interesting question because I did a play when I was in fifth grade, a musical, like one of the youth, it was Robin Hood and it was youth, I don't know, but I didn't really do theater in middle school because I was scared people would think I was gay. So I really like hit the ground running in high school. So I didn't really get into the thing, but I knew I really wanted to do the thing much earlier. And I have to say, I always say that the reason I love theater is because of the Sound of Music movie. I just think that my grandparents showed me it when I was so young. I wanted to be a Von Trapp child so bad. But I think my actual answer to your question, because of the phenomenon that it was the High School Musical of it all. I mean, it really hit me in a time and hit the world in a time where everyone liked it. It wasn't just the girls. Everyone, regardless if you were like an athlete, whatever, everyone knew and everyone wanted to watch the premiere of High School Musical 2. Everyone saw High School Musical 3 in theaters. And I think Ryan specifically as a character was the closest thing I'd ever seen to, I'm like, oh my God, that is totally me. Like, I totally identified with Lucas Graybill. And I was like, and while everyone wanted to be Troy Gabriella, I was like, I want to be Ryan Echarpe. And we rehearsed what I've been looking for, but their version for a talent show. But then they decided that the year that we were going to do that, they were no longer going to do a talent show. So unfortunately never got to perform it. But I think that was in second grade. I was devastated. Third grade? I don't know. I was devastated, whatever it was. And the fact that it carried me through so much of my adolescent years in terms of like from 1 to 3, it paved the way for Glee. It paved the way for, I don't know, the cool kids to do theater. I think we don't give that franchise enough credit. And I think that has to be my Ring of Keys moment because I went to High School Musical on Ice. Like I was an active consumer of that franchise. So High School Musical, final answer.
Okay. One of my favorite Ring of Keys moments ever.
Incredible.
Yes. I feel like Dylan and I completely relate to that. I remember the night I saw the first one. Like you said, High School Musical 2 was the event of the end of summer.
It was so weird. It came out at the end of summer that year.
Yes.
Oh my God. Absolute magic.
Oh my God. We were at a family, like a bunch of families were at a family's place. We were like by, we go to the, went to the lake every summer, like Tahoe, because I'm from California. So we like, someone was having a big party and all the families were invited and there's all these kids. And it, it to the point where all of the kids at whatever time it premiered, what, 7 p.m., 6 p.m., I don't know. It, we all sat on a bed and watched it. And the parents loved it because they just got to get drunk and not worry about the kids, because we were all, it was probably 20 of us sitting on a bed watching this. And even the, again, the straightest, the soccer players, the lacrosse players, like everyone was dying to see it. And it was so worth it. When Miley Cyrus came out and All For One.
And did you vote online? Did you vote online to pick who you wanted to see appear in the movie?
Absolutely. I also voted on Chad's shirt that he would wear in the beginning. And mine was not chosen, but he ended up having one that said, I majored in vacation. And I remember getting the shirt because you were able to buy the shirt. So I bought the shirt and I remember we were, God, this is just came back to me. We had this something called hot lunch, like once a month or something. So like parents would come and serve lunch or whatever.
Oh, that's cute.
And I was getting my pasta from one of the moms and she's like, oh, I love your shirt. Do you even know what that means? And I'm like, what? She's like, major, do you even know what that means? I had no idea what it meant. And I'm like, no. And she's like, oh. And I like ran off. I was so embarrassed because I was like, I'm wearing a shirt and have no idea what it means. But of course, now I understand it. So yeah, that's my story.
Wow, that unlocked something really deep, I think.
I know. I'm like, oh my God, I remember. I was going to say her name because I even remember the mom. But I, oh, I'm not going
her.
To. Dox her. This is her address. Get her. Yeah. I made
how, okay. So grow up in California too. You had that proximity to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And
oh my God. You're right. It wasn't too far.
It wasn't. That could have been you.
Could have been a wildcat.
I know.
Wow. And it was also, I think, at the end of the era where like we all watched things together.
Yeah, you know that doesn't really happen anymore. Yeah,
no, I feel like there
unless
was a,
it's like Drag Race viewings.
Right, Drag Race is a great example. The Bachelor had a moment for a second there. Yeah, of course, during the pandemic, there were things we all sort of did together alone, sure, as they said, sure. Hashtag together alone. Period.
Connor, I literally tweeted about this last night. Like, we were hashtag together alone watching the Sondheim birthday thing.
Oh, yes,
God.
Rosie O'Donnell did that. That the revival of her show,
oh, of
where she had all the different, you know,
yeah.
It was like there was these things, and then the Stars in the House movement with Seth Rudetsky and his husband.
Oh my God, I watched so many Stars in the House.
So many. I mean, it was like comforting, you know?
The title of show, I'm such a title of show freak. And the fact that there was a title of show reunion, like I was there, I was watching, I was in.
You were there, it was rare. You remember it all too. Wow. Are you a Swiftie?
What'd you say?
Are you a Swiftie?
I would say I'm Swiftie light in terms of I listen to the music. I know a lot of it, but I don't know the deeper cuts. I don't know the, you know, the B-sides. I don't know the deluxe versions, but count me in. 1989 is my album. So when that Taylor's version comes out, that's going to be cuckoo for me. Just
it's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great.
Well, I would say we're Swiftie premium if you're like,
oh, you're such a premium.
Yeah, but I wanted to kind of dish about her and Joe's breakup, but a part of me isn't really ready to talk about it yet.
Was a big, well, I had friends over and the news was broken.
It's
and
the Zanessa
like saying,
breakup.
Like, love is dead. Yeah, oh my God, it's
the Zanessa.
I got so upset when that happened, seriously. I really was upset. And when Ashley Tisdale got a nose job, I somehow like took that personally as a child.
And she premiered it in the third one, right?
She did the nose.
Yeah.
And she looks amazing. I'm like, who was I to be like, because I was like, she's just the love of my life. And like, I just like, she needs to know she's beautiful. Meanwhile, she like actually had a deviated septum apparently. So
right.
I'm like,
which by the way,
to breathe.
Just went to the doctor today and I was told I have a deviated septum and I felt really kind of fun about
it. Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Whoa. I feel fun. She said, it's not a surgical necessity. And I was like, okay, cool. So I can just like mention it now.
Yeah. Oh, I have my it's like, I have my deviated septum.
It's like, I have an astigmatism and a deviated septum. You know what I mean?
I'm gagged.
I know. Gagada.
I know. Anyways, wow. Okay. So we love High School Musical, but I need to ask you which one is your favorite. Will live and die for High School Musical 3.
Yes.
Because I think it has the best music. But
I think High School Musical 3 is my favorite as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And my friend Chris Quazzo, shout out, he is vehemently a fan of High School Musical 2. He thinks it's the best one. And I'm like, High School Musical 2 for me serves its purpose. I never want to watch it if it's not summer. I feel like it puts me in that headspace. So I'm like, it feels almost like a holiday movie in terms of I can only watch it in like in a certain time of the year. Whereas High School Musical 3 will get me crying. It will get me. Oh my God. I just think it's so brilliant. And I mean, it had the budget. It was the biggest budget. They all were in, like, so hot.
Oh, everyone
was
at their
absolute hot. It was such a, I don't know. I just had a crush on literally everyone in that movie.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All of Gabriella's mini dresses.
Oh my God. My, can I have this dance?
That's the one I was thinking of.
Of course. I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, you knew. You knew.
I knew.
And when the cut scenes of Troy showering sort of leaked to the internet, do you, well, that was also a moment too.
Of course it was a moment.
Oh my God. Was it part of Scream? Is that what, or no? Is that the song?
Scream is so good with like the set rotates. Also, we can't forget the opening shot of the movie, him, his sweaty ass face. And all you hear is, I'm like, this, they knew exactly what they were doing.
I just remember because Connor and I went to the midnight premiere and alone, just the two of us.
Incredible.
And
we were positive for another 5 years.
I want to know if you guys came out together. I'm sure you've like talked about this a lot. Was it like a arm in arm?
We did come out arm in arm.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so sweet.
Not hand in hand though, because we didn't touch at the time. It took a long time for Connor to even hug. We wouldn't hug. Or
I have friends like that where they're the closest, nearest, dearest would take a bullet from them, but I have a really hard time making any physical contact.
I know. Yeah, we did too. Like,
yeah,
but yeah, like didn't come out till 19. How old were you when you came out?
It's like a long story, but I tried coming out earlier, and I sort of like it didn't work. Like it was sort of like, I needed more time to bake. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So I came out really officially when I was 15. I was the summer after my freshman year of high school. I went to a performing arts program called California State Summer School for the Arts. And as my parents drove off, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to act like I'm out. Just like I've been out and just not make a thing out of it and just see what happens. And it was like the most life-changing summer, being like, I feel so comfortable in myself, and I'm actually glad I waited a little bit longer to get out of middle school, because coming out in middle school sounds like a nightmare. But I then came back and sort of reopened the conversation I had sort of started a couple years prior, and then came out to, I'm not going to, came out like publicly, like to the school in a very like weird way, which I'm not going to say because I'm doing like a solo show this summer, and that's going to be one of the stories I tell.
So that's amazing. I love that little teaser.
A little teaser.
We've got to buy tickets to hear the rest of the story.
But of course, yes.
Yeah. And this, so your California, was this like Northern California, Southern California? Okay.
It was Northern. I was from the East Bay area. So not from San Francisco proper, but from a suburb in the East.
Okay,
East
cool.
Bay area.
Had you always dreamed of working in the arts?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, I would always say I wanted to be an actor, even though I wasn't doing it. I was like, I want to be an actor or a chef. Or an artist is what I would always say.
Creative.
And I remember my friend's babysitter was like, she's like, when I was your age, I also wanted to be those three things. You'll grow out of it. And I remember being like, actually, bitch, I'm not. Like, I'm going to actually prove you wrong. So that little memory has kind of kept me going too. Being like, no, I had the self-awareness when I was young to know that I was being serious, you know, because a lot of people don't take kids seriously. So I knew I wanted to do it. I had no idea what my in was going to be. And it took me a second because, you know, being closeted is difficult, as you know. So, yeah, but I'm glad. So I really hit the ground running when I entered high school. I'll tell you that.
And I'm assuming you graduated college during the pandemic.
You graduated in 2020.
Oh.
So yeah, that was brutal.
Did you have like a senior show or anything like that?
Actually was doing a show professionally during my final semester. I was LA. I was doing a production of Passion, the one that you mentioned in my intro, which you so kindly mentioned. Yes. I was doing Passion at the Boston Court in Pasadena, which is like a small theater, and it was an amazing production, reorchestrated for us, and it was they hadn't done Passion in LA in like 20 years or something, so it was like a really special production, and we were I think two or three previews in when the pandemic hit, unfortunately. Oof. So
well, at least you got to do a few.
I got to do, you know, got to perform it like two or three times, which was nice. But it was such a, I made some lifelong friends during that process, and it was amazing being like, I'm a professional as I was finishing up my degree. It felt really validating. So but yeah, so didn't really get to do that, but the spring musical of my senior year that I did not do, I chose to do Passion instead, was The Secret Garden.
Ah. Oh, maybe that's going to come in next
year.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. There's that production in LA. I know they
it was star-studded.
Star-studded. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. And that's probably like, I don't know. I'm glad that you were able to kind of get your foot in professionally before.
Yeah,
you know,
a little bit.
I feel like maybe give you a little bit of a leg up. But so then I'm assuming it was during the pandemic as TikTok blew up. That's when you sort of got your foot in that door as well.
Most definitely. Yes.
Okay.
I downloaded the app in March of 2020, sort of after, you know, when I realized that this was going to last, and was home in the Bay. I didn't have to fly home because I went to school in LA. So I just drove up, quarantined with my family for like a month, and then was like, I need to finish my degree in the house I was living in. So I went back down. But in my time up there, I downloaded it just out of pure boredom. And I remember my sister was like, no, my first TikTok is me filming my sister groaning that I downloaded TikTok. And I'm like, TikTok, my first TikTok, making a video, like totally assuming the app was for children and that I was downloading it as a joke. And over the next few months, started making videos more consistently because I realized it felt really good to do something creative during that time. I felt so stifled creatively is what I often say about that time period. So I was like, okay, I'll keep making these videos. And then as I really began to make videos about theater, I started to understand that I wasn't the only one that loves theater that was trapped inside, unable to do it. And I realized if I made a joke about a specific show, if I made like a joke about Into the Woods, I would get so many comments being like, oh my God, my spring show was supposed to be Into the Woods and it was canceled. So like, this really made me laugh today. And I was like, oh, if I can make these theater kids laugh, I'm like, that is such a good mission. And then that sort of has been the goal this entire time. My North Star, you know, because you get kind of, some days you're like, oh, I wish I had more followers. I wish I had more opportunities. I wish, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, if I'm making theater girls laugh, that is plenty, plenty for me because so when people stop me on the street and they're like, oh my God, this happened to me and it was hilarious. And last night someone was like, I don't do theater anymore. And my friends and I who like used to do theater together, but we don't really talk a lot anymore, like our mode of keeping up with each other is sending your TikToks back and forth. And I was like, that is the sweetest, kindest compliment. And, you know, it reminds you why you do this, right? Because I don't really get paid to post any of these things. So it's really fun. It's a blast.
Do you remember when you kind of a turn happened and you became popular on TikTok? I know that's like a silly.
There's a few.
Okay.
No, this is a great question. I remember I did my first, I had a character that I don't really do anymore called That Theater Bitch. And it was sort of like a nightmarish sort of person that we've all done theater with.
Mm-hmm.
Amalgamation of different, you know, people that I've met and then different personalities and, you know. And I started doing that. And that was sort of what I did for almost a year. Like that was the content I was doing. I was playing this character. And I remember my first video, I think Natalie Weiss commented on it. And I was like, Natalie Weiss commented on my video. I'm like, that's crazy. And then I was like, okay, I think I have something here. It was when the Theater Bitch thing started because I was like, making a character and making a series that's repeatable is kind of like, I mean, look at Octopus Lover, whatever, if you're following his TikToks, like he has created a series that is fan generated. All of his ideas are from fans and he can do them with almost no production value. He set himself up for absolute success and now everyone's, you know, duetting him. He's shot up. He has a meteoric rise on the app. And that's how you make TikTok work for you, is if you do something that is repeatable and that people care about and that isn't too hard to repeat. That is the key. So Theater Bitch was my turning point. I think that was when things really began to change. What, I can't speak, but yeah, I would say that character, which I don't normally do really anymore. And people are like, why don't you do it anymore? One, I don't want to accidentally like paint myself into a corner being like people not knowing who I am and or people just being like Miranda Sing me by accident, you know, just being like, oh, this is all you're sort of good for. So I started making characters a little closer to myself and I'm happy with that decision. But I love going back and watching those videos. I'm still very proud of them. It's just that I think it ran its course in my eyes. So
That's really smart of you to know when to leave the party, per se, you know, with Theater Bitch. She's leaving the cast party early.
She's leaving the cast party early. And same with, like, the pre-show announcements. Like, I don't really do those anymore because I sort of did all the shows that I wanted to do them with. And I could go way more niche and do cell phone announcements for niche shows. But it just, it wouldn't be fun anymore because then I'd be so worried about the views and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Has anything that you like absolutely loved flopped? Or do you feel like because you have such a consistent following?
Yes, absolutely. Plenty. I had a series that I haven't done this in probably a year at this point, but a series called Writer's Room for My Dreams or Writer's Room of My Dreams. And it was essentially me playing four characters in my brain coming up with my dreams for that night. I have very like vivid and weird dreams. So I was like, oh, this would be funny if there was a writer's room up there, like trying to sabotage me and like traumatize me with my dreams. So like it's sort of everyone one-upping each other being like, oh, like what if, and then the last one is always just awful. It's like, oh, it's like, what if, you know, Stephen Sondheim calls him like a slur, you know, like that kind of thing. I was so, and a lot of my closest friends, though, that's their favorite videos of mine because it's so close to me and so my humor, but it never really hit the For You page. None of them did, but
sad.
I love those videos. So, hey, if you want some deep cuts, it's a playlist on my TikTok. So go check them out. I think they're very funny.
Oh my God. I was laughing at the one you did. Cause I said, I really only check TikTok like once every 2 weeks, maybe every week. I know I'm bad with it. I don't know why. It just isn't an immediate diet. Yeah. I don't know. I do appreciate it. The one where you're an actor at a talkback and you're like swirling your coffee, the way you were interacting, I was like, I have seen this talkback a million times. Like, you nailed it. It is so funny.
It is, but part of that is doing them. Like, having done a couple talkbacks in my life, you kind of find yourself slipping into it a little bit because I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's such a weird phenomenon. So I was like, anytime I have an idea where I'm like, oh, that excavates something that feels so universal, but no one's pointing a finger at, like, those videos are my favorite to make. So I need to make another one of those because I have plenty more ideas of different things people say during actor talkbacks. Oh my God. Playing this role, you know, getting deep into Horton the elephant, like that kind of thing. I just love it so much. So thank you.
I am a stan of the we're just gushing over your videos.
I love
the,
this
of the senior theater kids.
Oh yeah, those are a blast.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Because it's even so real.
It's so real because even if you didn't have like a really bitchy senior class, they still acted like that.
In high school and in college, I mean, there's the thing about seniority, I don't know, just holding power that means nothing, but feels like it's everything. It's so universal. And ultimately, I would like to think that the character is like turned up a few notches from like a normal person. But I think a lot of people see some truth in that. And I think it's, well, and because, hey, I could inadvertently be helping some folks being like, hey, if the seniors in high school are watching that, they're like, ooh, is this me? Like, and they can, you know, maybe correct themselves.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm like, oh, that was kind of an accident, but I might be actually helping some poor freshmen.
Do you just have like a notes app thing of like ideas for yourself? Okay.
You think I would have upgraded. No, it's been a notes app from the very beginning. So if I scroll all the way down, I'm sure there's some whack ideas that I never made. But yeah, notes.
Well, please don't slow down. I know that I want you to actually be, you know, the biggest star yourself. Oh, I mean, I see you going into comedy as well. I don't know if, do you know Katherine Cohen? Like,
she's one of my idols.
I can see you doing what she
does. Book. Yeah. Uh-huh. The solo show I'm doing this summer is not going to have any original songs in it, but it's going to be all show tunes, but like sort of interspersed with stand up storytelling, et cetera, et cetera. And I think eventually, depending on how it goes, depending if I love it, I'm loving writing it. So I think that's a good sign. But I would love to maybe start doing original musical comedy. I think it's, Bo Burnham and Katherine Cohen are two of my biggest inspirations. So I can totally see myself doing that, which I never in a million years would think I would be capable of doing. But I don't know, life is weird.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Amazing. Also, shout out to the straight guy at the call, at the audition.
Oh my God, I haven't done that forever. I need to figure out a different. Actually, thank you for reminding me. I do have an idea buried in my notes for him. So I might bring him back.
He needs to come back and then come again. Okay. Anyway, Tyler, I feel like we could talk to you for ages and ages,
I know.
But you have an appointment tonight with Mother, and we'll maybe get to it in a second.
Mother, Mother.
But anyway, before we end every episode, we like to share the drama on our minds, in our hearts, yeah. The thing we've been consuming, thinking about, something we may want to rant about, rave about, and mm-hmm. something huge happened in pop culture. And on Sunday, Succession aired its third episode of the season, and no spoilers, but it was a true water cooler moment, absolute bombshell, amazing writing, a show that I've struggled with at times throughout the years because I don't necessarily understand all the business happenings that's occurring at all times. So it's mm-hmm. not really allowed me to fully dive in, and I'll be like, oh, they're talking about business. Let me look at my phone for a second. And then I look up and it's 10 minutes later and I realized I missed some amazing acting and cinematography, et cetera, you know?
Totally.
But anyway, there was a performance. I mean, they all were incredible this past week. It's their final season. Everyone's turned it up to an 11, even though allegedly they didn't know it was their last season. Mm-hmm. But Sarah Snook, who plays Shiv, gave one of the most unbelievable and natural performances I have ever seen on TV. I'm being very, what do you call
hyperbolic.
It? Hyperbolic. But she ate.
Oh.
She is everything. I love her. I want her to win an Emmy for this, but she's unreal and I'm obsessed with her. So everyone needs to go watch Succession, even if it's just for Sarah Snook, because I've always found her storylines to be the most interesting anyway. So
yeah,
you must watch. You must watch.
I take it you watch, Tyler.
No, I got to the second season, but something must have come out because it was right when the second season had come out. Something must have come out that I needed to watch sooner. I was like, no, I'm gonna have to put this on hold, and I never got back into it, but I loved it. I don't know why I stopped. So but everyone is talking about that episode, so I feel like I need to restart the show.
It'd be worth it, and they're short seasons.
Oh yeah, they're so short. And randomly, okay, my OCD freaks out because season one, 10 episodes. Season two, 10 episodes. Season three, 9 episodes. Season four will be 10, and that's really disturbing.
that's disturbing.
It is.
That's messed up. That's
it's not
messed
like there
up.
Was a writer's strike that shortened the season, like happened with Ugly Betty and Lost.
The
and
only thing I can
those
think
shows
is
during that, but
that was their quote unquote COVID season. So maybe they were like, it was taking them too long to film certain things. They made cuts. Maybe there were some cast negotiations with money. Who knows? I don't really know how it all works out. But anyway, Dylan, do you have a dose of drama today?
I do. And I promise it has nothing to do with what you just said when you said that she deserves an Emmy. But one of my pet peeves is the most generic thing a person can tweet or post online is give them all the awards. Give them the Emmy. Clear the space off your counter, queen. You are getting a Tony. It's just like, is there anything more overwrought than that statement? Like, Emmy, now. Although I will say, and I said this on our Patreon, which everyone should subscribe to.
Subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes.
Period. Patreon.
When everyone was seeing Robin Herder in A Beautiful Noise and they were like, Robin Herder, that's the tweet. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
That is the tweet. But this is something different.
That is the tweet.
give me something more than Emmy. Why is she get, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just like saying they deserve some piece of metal for act. I mean, I'm an awards gay. Like, don't get me wrong at all.
Yeah.
But I just don't like those generic statements, I guess.
You're looking for creativity, and that's okay.
Yes.
Yes.
It's okay.
I completely understand because it's an opportunity to, like, if you really do love someone's performance so much, it's an opportunity for you to really like share in why and maybe make you reflect on why you really love a performance as opposed to being like award, because I think, you know, sure. Like maybe that is going to be the end game, but like also I would hate that also. I don't, if they don't win, then, or they're not even nominated, which often is the case, then it's like, oh, does that like discredit what you, I don't know. I just think if you, and it also puts so much weight in awards, like, oh, mm-hmm. your performance was so good, and the only way that it'll be just is if you win an award. It's like, no, you can have a really good performance, and it could just be a good performance. So I understand what you are saying.
Thank you. I feel heard. I feel safe.
Good.
Now, Tyler, do you have a dose of drama to take us home today?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I have so many things swirling and twirling. Because we're sort of on like a media that you're ingesting that you enjoy. I am watching two things right now that I'm obsessed with. I think Yellow Jackets on Showtime. I whipped through, like I ripped and whipped through that first season in one day last year. And that's 10 hours of television. And I also saw that same day a show at the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles. Oh, so that was 10 hours of TV plus seeing a show. So I couldn't go to sleep without finishing it. And so now I'm watching it at week to week, which is hell on earth because it's whatever. But episode 2 of Yellow Jackets season 2 was one of the most disturbing but incredibly done things I've ever seen, and I can't stop thinking about it. I just watched episode 3 today, and I just think Yellow Jackets is if you like being sort of questioning everything about yourself and like what you know, it's like if you're stranded on a desert island, like that kind of thing, but really exploring what it would look like if all of you were trapped in the woods and like what measures you would have to take. And also there's like supernatural stuff, and it reminds me of Lost, which you mentioned earlier, and Lost was such a huge cultural moment for me. Yeah. So that's huge. And also completely on the other side of that, to make me not freak out about, you know, and have bad dreams, which I do anyway, as I mentioned. But I watched The Traitors on Peacock. Yes.
So good.
Highly recommend. They're specifically the US season, but I have watched Australia and now watching UK. But The Traitors is just a big game of mafia that like it spans like so many episodes because there's so many people. And Alan Cumming hosts the US version.
He's a friend of yours.
I worked for him in the summer of 2017, and he's a dream and has become just such a beacon of light in my life. And seeing him in his like fullest form as like a Scot and with these like lavish outfits and hosting a really dramatic TV show, and him like totally leaning into the drama of it all is such a joy. So if you want a good lighter, really well-produced sort of reality TV show, The Traitors is great. And it's also not Survivor. Like I haven't gotten into Survivor yet because there's so many seasons and I'm scared. So The Traitors is very, very approachable. Traitors is approachable. Get in while it's hot.
Yes. So oh my God.
Those are my two things.
I must say, I really appreciated episode 3 letting us breathe.
Yeah, because there wasn't any sort of trauma.
Right.
Yeah, but they did explore. I'm like, okay, we're getting some spooky.
We're getting somewhere.
Wait.
We're
getting somewhere. The man with no eyes.
I don't want to think about it.
I am having issues. I'm also having, not to complain about Yellow Jackets, which I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, complain.
I feel like what I loved about season 1 was they took one of the scariest things you can imagine, a plane crash and then being stranded, et cetera, and having to turn to extreme survival tactics. And then there was the hint of something supernatural. Of course, like they kept it coming. They kept it coming, but it was never so explicit as it's become very quickly in season 2.
Yeah, they jumped real quick.
They jumped really quick, which is still, they had, I guess, you know, they had to, because they had to follow through on what they were doing. But I almost wish it was just a little more piecemeal, because it was like almost giving Riverdale. They were suddenly like, oh,
Do not go there.
I'm kidding.
No.
Yeah, we're not going to allow that.
Spoiler for Yellow Jackets season 2, episode 2, the last
minute. Skip ahead.
There was a sort of like ritualistic, possessive, ghostly threesome occurring that resulted in a gust of wind that threw snow over a burning body that somehow disintegrated clothing off of the dearly departed cast member character. It was a lot at once that I was like, wait, this show felt more rooted in reality than, I mean, of course I knew it was going to get supernatural and crazy, but it almost took me out a little bit when there was like the POV shot of the gust of wind into the everything. But
that what did feel like, oh, we're entering into new territory. Like it's like when a movie and a sequel is clearly directed by another person. That's like sort of like how it feels. I'm going to trust them because I loved the first season so much. So I'm like, maybe we have to get here because it's going to get so crazy that actually this is piecemeal. Like you don't know. Like
you're right. Because remember the cold open of the very first episode was something absolutely insane that I think we're getting towards. Yes.
Are you guys Broad City watchers? Do you watch
that? Oh yeah.
That is my entire, so I say Cuckoo Caca Insano all the time because of that show. So just I have to give credit where credit is due.
Did you watch Broad City before you moved to New York?
Yes, I've watched it probably 8 times through. It's my favorite show. It is,
it's,
I think, the
so
best.
Good. It's so good.
Song when she's going to the bathroom and she always sings.
I should.
Yeah, you know.
I should. I should.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So good. Oh my god. Okay, I could talk to you forever, literally forever. But you have to go see Jessica Chastain be mother.
And I must say, Tony Award.
You're calling it now.
Tony.
But what
about
going
against my own dose
prima
of drama.
Facie, girl?
Oh,
the prima is faceing.
The prima be faceing. So that just started previews, and hey, everyone, the buzzy is. I mean, she won the Olivier, so I guess we'll see. It's going to be a fight to the death between two mothers,
Jodi versus Jessica. I'm going to need Ariana DeBose to come through with a new rap about the Tony nominated girls.
I need it now.
Uh-huh. And Ren Rahula to help, of course.
I was just with him before recording this. Just with him.
Also, this, we can always cut this, but I do hope that your solo show. Yeah. I hope that you finally get to sing what I've been looking for.
Oh my god, that actually wasn't even on my radar. So maybe not, but
maybe one day.
Maybe one day, because that's really good. That's a really good idea.
The ballad version with like Kelsey on the keys.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's too good.
Drew Seeley was Drew Seeleying in
Drew
that number.
Drew Seeley went ahead and sang as Troy. That's why on all the albums, it's character names as opposed to...
Oh, yes.
It's like Troy as opposed to Zac Efron, because
so
it was
right.
Not Zac. Yes.
Crazy. Camp. Oh my god. Tyler, you're a doll. Everyone's already following you on Instagram, or probably in TikTok and Instagram, but it's just your name, Tyler Joseph Ellis,
yeah,
right?
It is. That is. Those are the handles if you want more of me.
Amazing.
While you're following him, you gotta follow us.
We're twinning right
now. We're twinning.
We're at The Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor is at Connor McDowell. Tyler, when I'm in the city next, we're going to have a drink, not
wine.
Oh my
god, let's do it.
Yes.
Please. This was such a blast.
Oh my god, thank you for coming
on.
Thank you.
This was so fun.
So fun.
Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.